Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Jeff Suardo, and welcome to Food Mania for Saturday, October 20th. It's hard to believe that it's already the 20th of October. I guess when you're doing a weekly show, what ends up happening is time just goes by really fast, and it really did this month for sure. All right, the last couple of weeks we've been harvesting everything in the fall, vegetables, and they were just incredible. All the pumpkins and all the gourds and all the things right now are still in the ground and waiting for a couple of more weeks before Thanksgiving actually ends up coming, and that's really, really exciting. And what I meant really to say is we have Halloween in between that as well. So there'll be lots of things to use for decoration and lots of things to be using for cooking, which is always really exciting. And I am just totally psyched today with the possibility of cooking some really, really good stuff for you all, and this is the way it's going to be for probably the next 27 minutes or so, and I'm really, really excited about that. This is how it works. Basically, you have the last 2 weeks we were talking about putting the garden to bed, and that was really, really exciting to be able to do that. Some parts of the gardens are still covered yet because we still have some things in there that we'll be able to still harvest and cook, and that's exciting. But for the most part, I was really thankful to have Rhonda E. with me for the last 2 weeks to do all the gardening tips. And if you missed it, you can go to the archive section of Blog Talk Radio under Foodomania and listen to those shows and take a pencil and paper with you while you're listening, because let me tell you, there's a lot of really important things to think about, especially right now. You're only down to another week or two or three before you really need to start getting on it with your garden. So you celebrate what you did this year and really, really get ready for next year, which is exciting. We've had some pretty intense winds here and rain for the first time in 85 days in the Pacific Northwest. So my beautiful dahlia gardens that you've probably seen on the Chef Suarez Foodomania page are starting to flower like crazy, but I lost about a third to half of my crop over this very, very windy couple of days this week. And it was kind of sad. The only positive thing, I was able to go out and cut a lot of them down. And the ones that didn't bloom yet, I put them all in big water bottles all over the house. And actually, looking this morning, some of them are starting to bloom. So I still feel good. But I still got a tremendous amount of pleasure out of these dahlias. My second year, really, really getting into them. And this year, I expanded my dahlia garden by tenfold and have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dahlias. And next year, we're hoping for even more of that because I just love them so much. And we had about 35 varieties this year. And if you look at any of the Foodomania pages or the Chef Suardo Facebook pages, you can constantly see pictures of these incredible flowers. All right, enough about that. Let's talk about this incredible time of baking and making things that are called fall desserts, really. If you remember, we talked about baked apples. And we're not going to get into that right now because there's, that's also in the archive. But today I thought I'd cover some of the things. And if you look at the Chef Suardo's Foodomania page, you'll see some of the pictures of the things I'm talking about, which is always really exciting. First up, we have this incredible, what I call a pumpkin cheesecake. It has a couple of different things in it, and it is just absolutely incredible, and there's so many different ways to do it. Cheesecakes are really funny, and everybody has a certain way to do it. What we're going to do is make the basics of a cheesecake today, and we're going to do that right now. First of all, ingredients are really important, and in a lot of cases, people like to try to be really brave and go, I'm going to get those small little sugar. Well, first of all, people sometimes use the big jack-o'-lantern type pumpkins. That's not the pumpkin you want to use for a pumpkin pie. You actually want to use a small sugar pumpkin. But let me tell you, in most cases, if you're really aggressive and you really want to do something, unique and say, well, I actually went out and picked out the pumpkin and skinned it and took the meat out of it and cooked it off, you could do that. And there's a lot of ways to do that, and lots of recipes that you can get at Foodomania or in many different cookbooks to do that. But today, we're just not going that route. We're going to use the really, really very, very high-quality canned pumpkin, standard fare. And so we're going to need a 15-ounce can of pumpkin puree. It's equal to about 1.5 to 1 3/4 cups. We need about 8 whole graham crackers. That means the big ones that are not, you know, not together, but we're going to break them anyway. We're going to need 1/2 cup of pecans, usually about 2 ounces, 1 tablespoon of light brown sugar, 5 tablespoons of unsalted salted butter, melted, of course, but it's used in a lot of cases for greasing the pan for the most part. We'll use 1.5 cups of cream cheese. Love cream cheese at room temperature, and 1.5 cups of granulated sugar. I use about 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, and some ground cloves, about the same amount, I think. Yeah, it'll work. And then 1/4 pound, don't use 1/4 pound of this. 1/4 teaspoon of ground allspice. And then 5 large eggs. And make sure you pull out the eggs and keep them at room temperature for a good hour before we do this recipe. It's real important to do that. Heavy cream at room temperature as well, about 1 cup. Maybe a little bit more. I like to use just 2 splashes more. 1 tablespoon of lime juice. And some people like to use lemon juice. You can go with lemon juice. It's usually more readily available. But I've discovered that lime juice even makes it better. And then 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract. Use the pure stuff. It's worth investing in that. The imitation stuff is just doesn't have the same flavor. And then cream for whipping, and we'll get that later, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Now, also, we're going to do sort of a praline sugary kind of topping for this, which is really great, and I'll show you how to do that and tell you how to do that shortly. Now, listen, set yourself a good amount of time to do this. It's really important. And, by the way, I wanted to give you the switchboard number if you'd like to call in, 323-580-5779. That's 323-580-5779. And you can absolutely 100% call in. I'd love to talk to you during the course of making this cheesecake. Now, let's get going because we have a couple of things to do first. First of all, set a rack over a baking sheet, you know, a little teeny rack that's a wire rack, and lie on the rack with like 2 layers of paper towels. And spread, what I do, spread the pumpkin puree over the paper towels, mainly just to let it drain, okay? Don't mush it into the paper towels, but this is a really good method to just get the excess liquid out of it, and you want to do that because you want this mixture fairly dry. Now, while you're doing this, it sounds crazy, I like to set my oven to 500 degrees. People go, we'll burn it. No, trust me, there's a reason for this. Now, take your springform pan, which you really need is a springform pan for sure, and butter the bottom and the sides of it. Usually about a 9-inch will do, and I would go for that. And in a food processor, if you have one, or a hand whip, take the graham crackers. Sorry, I didn't say that word. I'm sorry. Take your graham crackers and go ahead and chop them up until they're finely ground into sort of almost like a powder. Okay, I like to, you know, not overdo it, but just get them really fine. And at this point, I take the pecans and the brown sugar and pulse them in there as well until they're finely ground, separate from the crackers, and then add it together. And then take the melted butter and put that in the mixture until it's really mixed up together. Press the crumbs and that mixture onto the bottom of the pan. Make sure you grease it first with the extra butter. And then take that crust and stick it in the oven for about 6 minutes. That's it. Just so you can smell it. That's the key. And it might be lightly brown, but you want to smell it. When you smell it, you know it's ready, okay? But, you know, if your nose is stuffed, look at your timer and go 5 to 7 minutes, all right? And then let that crust, pull it out and let it cool really completely. Now, in a separate bowl, if you have a standing mixer, or a big bowl if you have a hand mixer, which is, you know, a paddle, which is really, really good. If you don't, take that softened cream cheese and beat it until it's really smooth. And then in a small, teeny bowl, take the sugar with the salt, the cinnamon, the nutmeg, the cloves, and the allspice, and mix those all together. And then while the machine and the mixer is on, add that spiced sugar to the cream cheese and just beat it until it's just a little bit creamy, okay? And stop it for a second, take a little scraper and scrape the bottom of the side of the bowl and pull it to the center. And then carefully take that pumpkin off the paper towel. All you should be able to do is easily lift up the paper towel, it's not going to be sogging wet, and go ahead and just dip it into the bowl. Now, just make sure, double check, because I've done this in the past, that there's not little pigments of paper towel that might have somehow slipped into the pumpkin mix. It'll just ruin the whole thing, okay? So you want to make sure you do that. And get that in there and beat it until it's smooth. Now, at this point, we're going to add the eggs one at a time. You know, some people like to pre-open them and you just throw them all in. No, one at a time. There's a reason for this. And then beating it well and scraping down the side of the bowl when that happens. Now, once you get all the five eggs in, go ahead and take the heavy cream and put that in and add that little bit of lemon juice and vanilla until the mixture is like silky smooth. Stop the mix at this point, okay? Now, pour all that mixture, we'll call it the cheesecake mixture, over the cool cookie crust and go ahead and bake that for literally 12 minutes. Lower the oven temperature to 225 and bake it for about 3 hours, okay? Now, that sounds crazy, but that's what we're going to do. 3 hours. So let me go through that. Take the cheesecake mixture over the crust and bake it for about 12 minutes. Then lower the temperature 12 minutes to 225 and bake the cheesecake for about 3 hours until an instant, until you get 150 degrees in a little cake thermometer. You're going to stick it in there and you're going to get 150. Now, 3 hours, people are going, what? It's going to burn, but trust me, this is how it works. Now, the scent is going to be a little bit jiggly, but not liquidy, and that's the key. And let that, pull that cheesecake out at that point in time and let it cool on a rack and then cover it with a plastic wrap and refrigerate it. Now, some people, when they make cheesecakes, they actually bake it in a water bath, meaning they have a second bowl where they'll put about 3 inches of water or 2 inches of water in it, depending on how deep the cheesecake pan is, and go ahead and bake it like that. Now, sometimes that works really well. With this specific recipe, I found that it just doesn't get it to the where you really want to have it. Okay, so you're going to go. Now, people will say, how can you bake anything for 3 hours? My gosh. But trust me, that's how it works. Slowly, really nice. At 225, it's going to just take its time and do what it's supposed to do, and it really, really works. Now, it might be a little less than 3 hours because you're going to look at that thermometer until it's 150 in the center. You pull it out and you cool it a little bit. And some people, what I like to do is when I pull it out, I just let it cool on a rack and cover it with plastic after it cools and refrigerate it overnight. This is not something you're going to cook. You're going to serve hot, okay? You're going to refrigerate it overnight. Then the next day, you're going to take a hot knife, meaning take a knife, and what I like to do is just dip it in a, either put it over, the burner for a second, or what I really like to do is dip it in some hot water, get it warm, and, use a paper towel to just take off the extra water and take it carefully around the outside of the ring and then loosen the spring form. Carefully remove the ring and transfer that beautiful cheesecake to a plate. And then in cutting it, also using a warm knife, cut it into wedges and serve it. Now, different kinds of toppings. What I really like to do is take a little bit of praline topping. And this is really, really a simple thing to make. And you can do it a couple of different ways. What I do is I take about a stick of unsalted butter, about a third of a cup or so of dark brown sugar, and about a half a cup of heavy cream, and then a little bit of salt, a couple of shakes, and then about a cup and a half, or about 8 ounces of pecans. Then I take the oven to 350 in a large saucepan. I combine the butter and the brown sugar and cook it over a medium heat, and then I stir until smooth. And then I stir in the heavy cream and salt and bring it to like a boil. And then simmer just until it's thick, about 3 minutes. Then I spread the pecans on a rim baking sheet because I like to bake the pecans first and stick those in the oven carefully for literally 5 minutes. Don't do more. Sometimes they call for 8 to 10 minutes, 5 minutes, trust me. And then until they're lightly brown, but you'll smell them. Your nose is your key here. And trust me, I have no problem with having a huge key, if you know what I'm talking about. Then transfer the pecans to a work, surface like that, cutting board or some parchment paper, and let them cool. And chop the nuts and then stir them into that cool caramel I talked to you about, that mixture of praline stuff, and then take a nice tablespoon and drip it over your beautiful cheesecake. Now, the favorite part, just a little bit on the plate, the cheesecake, and then make a little bit of fresh whipped cream. You know how to do that. I've told you that before. and we're not going to spend so much time doing that. Just make a little fresh whipping cream, put a dollop over that in the center of the cheesecake, and then another tablespoon, okay, of this beautiful pecan caramel mixture over it. Oh, my gosh. You better make sure that you have time to take a nap after you eat this cheesecake. The combination of this pumpkin cheesecake and the praline caramel cream and the fresh whipping cream is to die for, or TDF. You know, if you ever watch some of these shows and have these little initial things, TDF, baby, to die for, okay? All right, you got your pumpkin cheesecake. That is going to be sort of your header right here for the fall incredible food that you're going to have. Now, I have enough time to give you one more little quick dessert that I really, really love. And it's basically, I've done this in some other shows before, and I've done it in early Food and Mania shows back in the early spring, and it's called trifle. But I love to do what I call a cranberry fall trifle, which is really basically an English-style or Scottish dessert made individually. I like to do it. Some people like to make one big trifle and just scoop it out. But I think if you can go to a thrift store and get just the right serving glasses, you can make individual trifles. Trifles, basically, to make a long story short, are layered cream and cake and fruit and syrup desserts. And, again, a simple pound cake is great. You can absolutely make your own pound cake. We have recipes on the Food Mania site for that. You want to get beautiful, fall nuts like some pecans and maybe some filberts and that sort of thing. Then a little bit of dry cranberries. What I like to do is take beautiful dry cranberries and then soak them in a little bit of sort of juice. Apple cider is really well. Now, some people like to use alcohol in the in your trifles, and you certainly can do that. I don't make anything with alcohol, mainly because I do not drink alcohol. But absolutely some aperitifs like an apricot, liqueur, or something like that can work as well, and that's your choice. Now, also, two or three different kinds of cream. I like to make the fresh whipping cream. Then I will make a very simple egg custard, and you can do that very simply. So you have a bowl sort of each. You have your pound cake. You have your beautiful soaked cranberries. You have what I've done is taken some of the incredible apricots from the summer and dried them, dehydrated them. I take those and put them in a simple syrup and let them soak a little bit. One of the things that I found in trifles that just works for me is a fresh pineapple. Cut into little chunks and drain really well. It's just that texture that really works great. And if you're going to eat it quickly, if you have access to a cantaloupe that's really very nice and ripe but still a little bit firm, we could do some small teeny chunks of cantaloupe. Sometimes, and this is fall-oriented, now cantaloupe these days you can get, 12 months a year, but a little bit of cantaloupe, that pineapple, and here's what we do. We take our individual glasses there, and when I say individual, it's like an ice cream sundae glass works really, really well. Sometimes people like to make them, in different types of bowls. The reason I like the tall glasses is because you're able to see this beautiful dessert from the side, And here's what we do. So line up six glasses, and in each one, the first thing I do is I take a tablespoon of that beautiful cranberry and simple syrup mixture and put that as your base on the bottom of each glass. Then I'm going to take my pound cake and take a few little chunks. When I say chunks, I'm talking about a 1-inch by 1-inch cube. Okay, you don't want it crumbly, you want it firm. And hand yourself three or four little cubes right on top of that gushy, delicious cranberry mixture. Then take a tablespoon and a half of your beautiful custard and just flop it over the top of that. Mm-mm-mm. Then what I would do at this point in time, take just a few little teeny chunks of cantaloupe and a few little chunks of pineapple, small one, and then repeat it. Then go ahead and layer a pound cake. Then right over the pound cake, that beautiful cranberry, that syrup is going to soak into the pound cake, and it's going to be gorgeous. If you look on the side of it, you're going to see those drops of that purple syrup sort of go right into the cake, and it'll create this beautiful design. Then a little bit of your chopped pecans and filberts and stuff, just a few little small teeny pieces just for crunch, and keep repeating the process. And by the time you're done, you're going to have about 3 to 4 layers of all this gorgeous goodness. And I top it off with a little bit of custard and then a dollop or two of this beautiful cream and then a little spoonful of the mixture of that cranberry on the top for color and set it into the fridge for, half hour, an hour before you serve it. Pull them out. Oh, my gosh. You'll have the fall beautiful festival harvest trifle that you'll love. Now, let me tell you, I'm talking pretty darn quick, and even if you listen to the replay of this show, you're going to be hard-pressed to, unless you're a shorthand expert, to be able to get all this information that quick. So what I'm going to suggest to you to do, which is important, is absolutely write me, okay? And here's my address, Chef Stuarco, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. And in the subject line, I want you to put fall dessert feast. Fall dessert, fall dessert. And I will send you copies with absolutely no cost. Free. I can't believe it. And there's not too many things that are free right now, and you'll be able to get those recipes, and you'll be able to have them in your little recipe file, and this way you'll be able to do this at your own pace. Okay, so we have this sweet dessert for the pumpkin, beautiful praline cheesecake, and we have this incredible Stuarco's fresh fall trifle, which, oh my gosh, I'm telling you what, these are so good. These desserts are so good. You're just going to love them. Now, let's just run by a couple of other things really quickly, and we're not probably going to have the time to make all these right now, but at least I can tell you about it. In the fall, there's certain things that are sort of tradition. Apples, pears, gorgeous stuff. Now, of course, pear tarts are wonderful, and I have recipes for those on through the menu page as well that you can write in for and get any kind of combination of things with pears. You know, pears are just that beautiful thing that happens in the fall, a nice ripe pear. There's several different varieties. One of the really, really great things that go with pears as well and with really delicious apples always is a fresh caramel and some sort of a whipping cream together with that. Incredible. Now, lots of times people want a lighter dessert during the fall. Well, you know what? Just tell them to bring some carrots or chunks of, fruit, and there's their lighter dessert, because I think fall, harvest desserts are just absolutely, just indulgent, and you just got to go for it. And I mean no disrespect, because, obviously we can't eat like this every single day, but there are some simpler, basic, lighter things that one can do for a fall dessert. And what I would do is a simple baked apple, like I said, or a baked pear really, really goes really well. Chestnuts are available now, and you can roast some chestnuts. You can make a really nice simple nut mixture with some dried fruits and combine those things together, which works really, really great. And, just as a hand mix or trail mix or something like that, that will work really, really nice for a light dessert. Lots of times, also people like to do fall-style crepes. I have a very simple crepe batter, and then take your combination of pears and stew them a little bit. People, like I said, save those Italian plums in the freezer when you pick them. You cut them in half, remove the seed, give them a little rinse of water, sugar water, put them in an airtight, plastic bag and freeze them in little batches. You can pull those delicious prunes out. So these are the lighter things that avoid maybe the sugar, the butter, and all the cream. And they're just lovely desserts as well. Everybody, if you really, really want some sort of a more dietetic, lighter weight dessert, I will be happy to give you the lighter versions of the ones that I just talked about. But they're not that easy. You can't, you can do it. But sometimes it's best to just either go smaller. In some cases, you can go with smaller amounts. That'll work just as well. So there's a lot of different combinations that one can do in this. And like I said, just feel free to write me. Now, you can also get me at www.ksamvictorr.org. And my shows run concurrently through the week on Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 4. And, of course, Friday night from 8 to 10. And every day at 5 o'clock. On Thursdays, beautiful cooking minutes appear as well. Kitchen Cuisine Season 3 will premiere 1 week from tomorrow, which is very, very exciting. And I'll tell you more about that next Saturday. And keep up with it at Chef Stuarco's Foodomania page with you Blog Talk listeners and be able to get updates that way as well. There's a lot of food stuff going on, even though the season is going into the winter and we have things coming up. Next week will be our Halloween show, which is just going to be really fun. And basically, I'm going to talk about next week to make some snacks and things when after you get home from trick-or-treating and you're home, and then you're sitting at home waiting for your trick-or-treaters to come by and visit you. Some really simple things that, you know, you can make just to have around the house for munching. You know, I remember that was always the tradition when I was growing up. We would, you know, go out with the for trick-or-treating early and then come home, and I just remember my mom and grandma would, you know, make this beautiful stuff, and we'd sit around. It was almost just as exciting to see how many trick-or-treaters would come to the house. But we all, you know, they were trying to divert us from the candy, I think, but that didn't really work that great. But we'll be talking about that next week. And then, of course, things to look forward to is the great Halloween special. I'm sorry, the great Thanksgiving special that's coming up, which I love. And the Thanksgiving show will be in two parts. It'll be a pre-recorded special that I did with some really good friends and some of the co-hosts from Kitchen Cuisine. That was great. I really, really look forward to having Rhonda E. back. She's just a lovely host, and her and I have been working on some other new things that I think food-wise is going to just really, really get you excited. I love her take on food, and it's really fun to have different guests who come from different backgrounds and different places and have found things that, you know, sometimes we never might have even thought of if you're really, really used to doing food in a certain way. And, you know, that'll be really something that'll be great. Now, remember also, please go to www.1020radio.net. And that is 1020, the number, with the word radio right next to it, .net. And that is my own personal little studio radio station where there's all kinds of really good food mania stuff and cooking minutes there to participate with. Just go to the video archive or the audio archive section on that. The most important thing is to keep in touch with me. Keep sending the emails, keep writing, and tell people about this incredible show that, you know, we have so much fun producing for you every single week, and to be part of it. And they can go to our Chef's Door or our Facebook page and like us. All right, quick review. Remember, pumpkin praline delicious cheesecake, fall festival harvest trifle, stewed fruits and veggies for the fall. I want you to be safe out there. I want you to enjoy this weather. Embrace this time of year. There are still some markets on the weekends and some of the farmers markets that are still happening, and I encourage you to support your local farms, your local food source. Take a little bit of extra time to get the best local stuff you can because, number one, it's so much more healthy for you and your family, and number two, it really supports the people that spend time loving what they do. You know, most profits don't come high in people who grow their own organic stuff and sell them at markets, but it's the love of putting something in the ground and growing it from scratch and producing something beautiful that tastes really good. And that's the thing that you want to support and encourage. And I'm really, really curious, and I'm looking forward to our show in a couple of weeks to talk about the things that you've been doing since you've listened to Foodomania. So I encourage you to keep sending me your stories and writing them. I'll be happy to post them, and I will absolutely talk about them just like you're writing them to me and tell everybody all about them. Thanks for listening. This is Chef Stewardo with Foodomania. Look forward to next week, and stick around. Eat like crazy. That's what I'm going to go do right now. It's time to eat. Let's eat. Anytime at all. We'll be mine. Call me.